people ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Now I bring the ability to high point the ball and my ability to get yards after the catch and be able to break tackles. Some of my weaknesses is blocking, and I need to work on that. I say I'm a big, physical kind of player. I go and get the balls. I go in the middle, catch the balls anywhere. I go and get it.
Very interesting.
I go get the balls.
Devontae Parker at Combine trying to convince us that he's not Superman, that he needs to work on his blocking.
But he goes and gets the balls.
Yeah, well, he'll go up and get the balls anywhere around the field. I mean, across the middle, whatever you need, he's going to go up and get them. The big body, pretty fast. Although I think that maybe Kevin White stole the 40 time down at Combine at 4.3 something. I mean, if you talk about a jet.
But we talk about this all the time. Show me what.
Show me.
Well, you're on the field when you're playing the actual game. That's how you're going to play the actual game. I don't care if you're in your shorts running around and doing a little spanky dance or whatever the heck you guys do when you what is it that you guys do?
It's a spanky dance. You're right. Spanky dance. I don't know. We could ask one of the writers here from Cold Omaha. His name is Luke Inman. Luke, the spanky dance. Explain where that originated and what country it was started in.
Back in 1972, the winter of 72 going into 73. I don't have the wiki page up, man. Yeah, I can't help you. Not going to improv it anymore.
Not even close to knowing the etymology of the spanky dance. Luke Inman, new here on the staff at 105 The Ticket and Cold Omaha.
You have really skinny arms. Anybody ever point that out to you?
Twice. Both my mother. I'm not going to get into that either.
I was going to be the third. I was going to say that they look like buggy whips to me.
No, that's I actually have that up on my wiki page, so I could get into that term if you want to. But
you get used to it, man. We are so bad with people.
I think he already fits in.
I think
quite
he knows.
Well,
I think he knows how to. He understands it. He doesn't have his name on the back of his ball cap yet, like we do in the National Football League. They make the rookies put the name on the back of the cap with masking tape. That's okay, though. We're going to just waive that with you.
Don't Richie incognito me right now, man. I know people.
I don't want to bully anyone. I'm not like that anyway.
I'm not like that.
Why do you have duct tape? What is that for?
Oh, you know. It just fixes everything.
There's a reason we sit in opposite rooms.
Good stuff.
Luke,
well,
welcome to the show.
That's it. That's my time.
Gotta go.
Guys.
You came in. You said 9 days to the draft. I'll take your word for it. I knew it was close to that. But you've got a great article in Cold Omaha at 105 The Ticket, talking about the top wide receivers, and there is a crop of top flight wide receivers. I think probably better than last year. I mean, Sammy Watkins was certainly the one that stuck out the most, and I think was kind of that one upper echelon receiver. Not so much this time around. It's a Devontae Parker, and it's Cooper and Kevin White and Beckham down in Missouri.
Don't forget Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett, Kansas State.
Kansas State. Yeah. What about Justin Hardy, Darren Waller?
There you go.
Vince Mail. How can you forget about Deontay Greenberry?
Don't forget about Greenberry down in Houston. Man, a tough act to follow, really, when you look at last year's class. Could go down as the best class ever. Odell Beckham Jr., Watkins, as you mentioned, Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, list goes on and on. But because of that perception, this class isn't getting quite as much love. And I think, when you do your due diligence here, there's a lot of guys that you can get, not only at the top, the big three, as you mentioned, Kevin White, Amari Cooper, Devontae Parker, but after that, some good guys in the mid to late rounds that I really like. And you know, I don't know your guys' take, but when you look at that Viking depth chart, it's tough for me to sit here and say that the receiver position is a big need.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it, you know, Charles Johnson, everything you hear from Norv Turner and Mike Zimmer, they love this kid. They're going to give him every opportunity to shine. Mike Wallace, still a top 10, top 15 guy. He's going to have to be on the field. And then you got Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, a lot of people want to kind of disregard him already. But when you look at a guy that has all the talent, but raw coming in, we remember. And when you look at his history, too, four different offensive coordinators, four different playbooks in 4 different years. So third year, you know, it's the breakout year. Let's give him one more shot, I think. Just a little too early to jump ship on Cordell Patterson. So not a lot of room to invest a early round pick, I think.
So why is everybody talking about this? We're talking to Luke Inman, the NFL draft expert and film, what do you, from eDraft.com?
eDraft.com, yep.
Film reviewer.
Yep.
You know your stuff. Great article at 105theticket.com. Mike Wallace, Charles Johnson, Jarius Wright, Cordell Patterson, Adam Thielen. Why even talk about these first-round draft picks? Why are most of the majority of, I'm using the quotation fingers, experts in the know when it comes around the nation, die hard about the Minnesota Vikings taking Devontae Parker, which seems like most mock drafters have Devontae Parker going number 11 to the Minnesota Vikings. Why did you write an article about the wide receivers in the first round? I mean, if I'm right up there with you, and I think the superstar's with me, too. Why is everybody obsessed with the Vikings taking a wide receiver? There are far more pressing needs on this team than wide receiver.
I think the easy connection right off the bat is this kid played with Teddy Bridgewater at Louisville. People want to bring these guys in. You got the chemistry connection going on right away. You know, like we said, I don't think there's a lot of room on this depth chart right now, but kind of sit back, play devil's advocate a little bit. You look at what Rick Spielman always says. He's not building for today or tomorrow. He's building for next year, 3 years, 5 years down the road.
That's why I like your final four guys, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guys that are sleepers in the draft that you can go on and you can put in and almost do a Jarius Wright situation where you had him, you drafted Greg Childs. They both came out of the same school, Arkansas, I believe.
Arkansas, you got it.
And then you let them grow in the situation, and then look at now. I mean, Jarius Wright's a speed demon. He's going to be a great slot receiver, I think, this year. Probably the starting slot receiver, depending on what they do in the draft, maybe some June 1st cuts. But do that with some of these younger guys instead of investing a first-round draft pick, because superstar, you know better than I do, guard, linebacker, middle linebacker spot, cornerback, maybe even safety are much more pressing needs than the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I don't care how fast you are. I really don't care how fast you are. If you're a wide receiver and you are blazing fast, and I'm saying that's more of the Mike Wallace thing than anyone else that we have now currently. Jarius, not slow. Charles Johnson, not slow, but certainly the speed is in the hands of, I think, Mike Wallace. Well, guess what? You still have to protect 4 or 5 good seconds to get a guy down the field deep for a guy to throw the football. And you better be protecting up front for 4 or 5 seconds. And to do that, we are not manned up yet to protect Teddy Bridgewater to be able to do that in the pocket where he's the most comfortable, where most quarterbacks are most comfortable. We don't want him being a playground quarterback, running around trying to make things happen with his legs. He's quicker than I thought he was. He's more athletic on his feet than I thought he was. But this kid's a thinker. He's a pure passer. Let him sit back there and throw the ball and have the time to be able to step up into the pocket and throw the football. Then I'm all about, hey, if we've got him protected, then you can start talking receiver all you want. If we got another monstrous talent in a wide receiver, then I say go get him if that's the point. But we are not there yet.
Yeah, completely agree. We're talking to Luke Inman, Colomaha's draft expert and reviews films for eDraft.com, talking wide receivers in the new article that he wrote. Talk to me. Let's get in depth here on some of these fourth. First of all, where's Tyler Lockett expected to be drafted?
You know, Tyler Lockett just destroyed the combine. He's one of these undersized guys, which there's a new little craze going on, and it happened when all these teams went out and got these big boys, right? The Calvin Johnsons, the Julio Jones. Then these guys like Richard Sherman started coming out because you got to counteract these big guys with some long, lanky corners. Now the adjustment period is continuing, and now we're seeing some of these smaller, quicker, shiftier receivers like Sammy Watkins, like Odell Beckham Jr. come out last year.
Well, look at what the New England Patriots did to those big, lanky cornerbacks last year with Amendola and the other dude.
You got it. Yeah, absolutely. So you're starting to see some of these smaller guys really have more success and getting more opportunities against some of these bigger cornerbacks. Tyler Lockett, to answer your question, because of his just awesome combine and Senior Bowl week down there, I think you're looking at maybe a second to third round pick with him. But again, I mean, there's just so many of these guys. You just got to start taking some shots on some of these guys in the mid to late rounds.
And if somebody doesn't start thinking about middle linebacker more seriously, or the conversation coming up more often for me, then it worries me. If I'm not hearing more coming out of Winter Park or in the papers or through the beat writers that, you know, they're looking about, they're talking about, the rest of the country is citing a middle linebacker this or that as being the guy, I mean, that's a big deal to not have the quarterback set yet on defense. And we don't have one right now. Jasper Brinkley is gone. Don't know what their plan is. I'm sure they have one. It could include Anthony Barr, who had to play it a little while last year with the green sticker on the back of the helmet. I don't know. It could be Greenway. I don't know why they don't play Adi Cole, but there has to be a reason for it, for two different coaching staffs to not play this kid more than he does. There's that. Matthews, I don't care what you say. The name doesn't work for me in this one. He's a special team player until he proves otherwise.
He's like that movie Twins. Remember?
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito, yes. Yeah.
He's the Danny DeVito character.
Yeah.
He's definitely not his brother, Clay mm-hmm. Matthews.
And he's certainly not his dad, Clay Matthews, that I played with.
Yeah,
and he's not Bruce Matthews.
Bruce, but he is certainly his mom, Danny DeVito.
I'll take that one, because until he proves himself, I don't know. I would really. Here's the question for me. What's the deal with Adi Cole?
What
someone
is
answer,
the deal with
someone
Adi
answer for
Cole?
Me how
every
a kid,
time he comes in the game, he's amazing.
He's a stud.
What
are we missing here?
Figure out. Why don't we just put Matthews on the back of his jersey? He's got the long blonde hair, and then they'll like him. They'll love him.
I'm 1,000% with you, man. Adi Cole, every time he's on the field, he just blows up. I don't know what's going on. There's got to be some rhyme or reason. I don't know if they're just playing the waiting game and bringing him along slowly, but what is it, his third, fourth year now? It's time to go on him.
I would think so. I mean, my God, Jasper Brinkley, I thought he would have beaten Jasper out. I know he's not nearly the thumper to come up and stuff those A-gaps.
But isn't it telling you something? That they haven't gone out and signed a free agent middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. They haven't signed any linebacker except Matthews, and God knows what. I mean, we were just talking about the fact that he's probably a special teams player at best.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gone out and signed a middle linebacker.
Right.
There aren't the greatest of great middle linebackers in the draft. Not very deep, that is. Or a couple in the second, third round, maybe the end of the first round. I don't know. Maybe Adi Cole is in the plans.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, with all the passing that's going on, or it says 60% passing now from the pass to run ratio, you see those nickel and dime packages so much more. You drop out a linebacker, you bring one in, a defensive back. Is it as much or as important of a position as it used to be?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, you're probably going to take your middle linebacker out. Obviously, that's the big guy, and probably rely on the outside speed of your outside linebackers to stay in on nickel, and then you take another one out if you go dime. So you got a lot of little missiles out there just buzz bombing people and blowing people up and jumping those passes and intercepting. And it is a passing game, so they are in there more times than not. It's a good question, and to be a linebacker in those kinds of coverages. You have to be pretty special to stay with someone step for step and get close to a professional quarterback's throw if you're a linebacker. And so that the question still remains.
That's what Holtz means in German, hardwood.
Has there ever been a time when Coach Holtz ever said something that you didn't get down pat? I mean, absolutely perfect. I mean, because of the way he explains it.
Well, I don't get right back home.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Take care, guys.
I mean, how can you not play for a guy like that? I mean, I understand now what he's saying. I don't know. It's a really good point that you bring up, and maybe they won't. Maybe they got the guy in-house. Maybe it's Adi Cole already.
I hope so. And just real quick, I mean, this class compared to last year's class, we had Anthony Barr, obviously, Ryan Shazier, very highly touted. But C.J. Mosley was just the stud of the class.
I wanted him last year.
Oh, I wanted him so bad. I have no idea. I did a lot of research on those guys. I have no idea how he fell as far as he did.
Yeah.
And, of course, he fell right in the laps of a team like the Baltimore Ravens.
The Baltimore
just one
Ravens
of those teams
take
that
all the guys that I wanted in the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Terrell Suggs, and then there was the quarterback, and that just drives me absolutely insane.
Absolutely.
Luke Inman, Cold Omaha, draft expert, reviews films for eDraft.com. You can follow him at Luke_Spinman. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for putting up with our shenanigans.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the initiation process.
Not
it really
a
wasn't
problem.
That bad.
Not a problem. We will. There's plenty more of that, Luke. It's not over with, and you have a neck like a stack of dimes.
We're off the air, buddy.
Yeah,
so.
We love your input. So, Luke Inman, everybody, Cold Omaha. Up next, Flip Saunders. Ending the season with his report, his state of the state for the Timberwolves, and we'll get into some of that and discuss that and see where we as media sit with all that next.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
I appreciate all your guys this year. I know it's probably been a rougher for you guys, but we did keep you on your toes, brought enough guys in for you guys to at least write about, and at least not knowing on Twitter who was playing that night and everything else. So, but I do appreciate it. I know it's I know what the business is a little bit about, and I know you guys have a job to do, and I hope you understand that at times if I don't agree with something, doesn't mean I don't love you, you know, but I'm not afraid to say it, but I don't love you, Jerry, so I'll get excited. But I do appreciate your guys' hard work, I understand. If you need help, you guys know where you can get in touch with me, just give me a call.
When you're the cop, you're the coach, operations, president, say whatever you want. You can tell Jay-Z you don't like him. Jerry's to go to one of our guys, Star Tribune, Timberwolf beat reporter. Jerry's to go to one of our guys. You let us make fun of him, Flip. You don't get to make fun of him.
I'll coach until I feel we need to move in a different direction.
Well, I mean, that's what he said. I mean, I don't get where he pops off like that. I mean, obviously you were trying to see what sort of chemistry you had this season. You didn't have any choice in the first half. The second half, you had more choices along with Kevin Garnett. And obviously he was coaching to keep Garnett fresh, keep him out of the lineup for the most part, make sure he got back next year fresh and able to do something with these guys physically in the mix and not worry him out because he already knows he can play. So I get it. And also he's invaluable in practice and is different his personality, just being on the bench and helping these guys out. But anyway,
let's just look back and see the year that was the Minnesota Timberwolves, starting off with the coaching search. They didn't know if they were going to have Kevin Love or not, or who they were going to get back in trade. Obviously, they were trying to move Kevin Love, so they were looking at Dave Yeager, who ended up re-signing from the Memphis Grizzlies. He's from Mora. Was it Mora that he was from up north?
I think he was. Now that you mentioned
Pretty
it,
sure.
I think he was from here. He was up north. I think you're right.
We're talking to Michigan State's Tom Izzo. There was always the mayor down in...
Oh, Freddie Hoiberg.
In northern Iowa.
He's at Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State.
Then there was the guy from Florida with the hair. Know what I'm talking about? Billy Donovan.
Okay, yep.
Just all these people. And obviously, Flip Saunders ended up being the coach. Trading Kevin Love, getting back Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett. Getting Thaddeus Young in here. Injuries in November at the beginning of the season. Ricky Rubio, Pack, Kevin Martin. Trading veterans Corey Brewer, Mo Williams for more playing time for Wiggins, Levine, Shabazz Muhammad, Gorky Jang. Ended up getting Kevin Garnett back into the team. A lot of moving and shaking going around. Not very many wins. 16 wins. The worst record in the NBA. The best shot at getting the number one overall draft pick in the NBA lottery, which is coming up on the 19th of May, a little less than a month away. Flip Saunders. Success or failure last year as coach, not as owner, not as operations manager, as coach.
Yeah, he wins. He wins on this one because of what he was able to do with the trade, with Love. Let's start off with that one. I mean, to get what he got back in return for Kevin Love, and we all know now how exposed Kevin Love is now that he's in Cleveland. We kind of know what we had here. You can see that resurfacing again, even though he's playing with Kyrie and with LeBron James. So it's a pretty evident what we had.
He had a pretty good game.
Just a selfish play. He had a pretty good game, but he's always going to have a pretty good game with those kind of guys. He's just not going to be the guy, which he thought he was going to be, I think. He still continues to be huffy, moody, into himself, not a leader, not a team guy, I don't think. I think that's who he still is.
You don't think. I'm pretty sure you know that.
Well, I mean, unless someone else, I don't see him every night. I don't see what he's like in front of his teammates.
But he
appears to be the same guy. And we've heard.
And worse, I would say he's worse in Cleveland.
Well,
because
of the things he's been saying about LeBron, and I think he's taking pot shots, whether anyone else believes that he is or not. I think he's taking pot shots at his own teammate. And some return fire from LeBron James. But back to Flip, I think that was a good move. I think that we end up actually pretty good in that thing, just because of Wiggins alone. Then our draft selection of Zach LaVine. I think that was a good pick. I really do, looking back. Some of the acquisitions during the season then, Payne being one of those from Atlanta, I think that's going to work out someday somehow. Kevin Garnett was brought back. Then he played him back. He played him off so that we would end up in position, the position we're in right now, to get the first overall pick, the best chance of getting the first overall pick, 25%, in the lottery, which is hard to even say that they play it by lottery. That's stupid. But They do.
Playing the NBA draft lottery on NBA.com or the GM rating or whatever the thing is that I can you can find on the internet. It's in the Google if you type it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I had more chances of the Minnesota Timberwolves getting the number one overall selection when they were the second or third best chance than when we're the first. And now that they're the first.
Yeah.
Damned if I can't.
You can't get it to pull even, the number one.
No, never. They have a 25% chance. Leave it to the Minnesota Timberwolves to be screwed out of the first overall draft pick because of the kind of luck that that franchise does not have.
I would love to bet on that almost. I'm sure there's something in Vegas. Do the Wolves actually get to select number one or not? I would love to play that one. Might have to give Kelly a call. So anyway, but if you're looking for the thumbs up or thumbs down kangaroo court style on Flip Saunders and the way he's gone about, I think he positioned himself pretty well with assembling the talent in the talent pool, getting an old guy back who is a friend, possible owner someday, to get him back in the mix, and then to also play it just right at the end of the season to get this number one. Hopefully, we've been told by Jerry Zagoda that it's three or four deep, five deep in some cases.
I don't want a guard, though. I don't want any guards. Let's play the NBA tanking tracker. Let's run the NBA draft lottery, okay?
Got it.
We'll go five or ten times. How many times
Let's do it ten. Ten is a good number to weigh into it.
The first one, Minnesota picking third, would miss out probably on both big guys.
Correct.
Second, here we go.
All right.
Picking third again.
There's two threes.
Here we go again. Picking third again.
Third. God, so there you go.
Oh, number one.
Wow, there's one.
Running the draft simulator. Number three again.
Back to threes. So four threes and one, and we're halfway through it.
Add another three to that one.
There's five threes and one.
And another three, by the way.
Oh, this thing is it legit?
And another three.
Come on.
It's what's going to happen. Like, and another three.
No.
Three.
Something's wrong.
No. Nope.
That's goofy.
And there's a two.
Well, that's it, though. I mean, I think that's 11,
and
about 11 times.
Here's a two again.
All right, well.
So having a 25% chance.
Nothingness.
There should have been 2.5 times out of those 10 times.
Yeah, I don't know how three comes up that often. That's almost ridiculous that three would come up that often.
They can get no
on a random roll, are you telling me that three came up that often? No.
It's what's going to happen. No worse than fourth place.
Yeah.
Fourth in the draft, the mock draft, the lottery.
Well, we'll pick fourth then. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, my God.
We're going to pick fourth. Watch. And we're going to get one of those guards, the guy from China.
Chinese guy?
Yeah. He's not a guard. Yeah, he is.
Yes. I'd rather have D'Angelo Russell. This is going to be just stupid.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
I'm sick and tired. Why do I have to be from Minnesota?
Because.
Why did my mom have to have a baby here and name it me?
You're not me, Holson. You're Ben Holson. Your middle name me? Maybe you change your name from?
No.
Mike's break next, everybody. We're going to talk about this draft, this lottery. We're going to roll again, too, by the way.
Okay.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of the way this is operating. I'm going to sit over here on my own damn screen and start rolling over here.
It's like video lottery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're going to be sucked.
Yeah, we're going to roll again.
I was doing it all weekend and just screwed. Just absolutely screwed when it comes to Minnesota Timberwolves.
When I do this rolling, this son of a bitch better come up one quite a few times. I'm telling you that right now. It's Mike's break, and you can enjoy it because Pantera probably, and then we're going to roll until we get ones, nothing but ones, next.
All that good stuff. I'm Ben Holson. This is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket, and I don't really understand the words that are coming out of my mouth.
It's all right. It could be worse, I suppose. You could be Lou Holtz.
Oh, yeah.
That could actually change your life in many ways.
Some bitch is slick, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you think it's not? All right, so I've got the draft simulator up. I've got it up, and I going into the break, I said we'd come back and we would fix this damn thing since we're supposed to pick first. Well, we got a 25% chance of rolling and getting the first pick overall.
And you didn't like it because out of 10 times.
I think it was three, like seven out of the 10 times.
Yeah.
It was
one
twice and two once.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm here on my draft simulator. I've got it locked in for lottery only and from 1 to 14,
14.
Picks. And I've got perform lottery.
Yep.
So I'm going to get started here. Yeah. I'm just going to punch the button and see how we come up. And
the Wolves are going to get screwed over and over again. So
yeah, like just now. Okay. Three.
Three. Yep. Told you.
So I'm getting a little
The Wolves can pick no worse than fourth. So they're going to be anywhere between number one and number four. Let's do this 10 times. The first time you had it, number three.
Correct.
Second time?
Trying to reset this thing. I don't know how you're doing it, but...
What?
I don't know.
I just clicked the replay lottery thing up here at the top. Right here in that little gold button.
Oh, we got a different one going then. Different
scene.
But I will.
Go ahead and
hit yours then. Okay. Go ahead. Just hit yours and keep going. I'm going to realign mine too, and I'll play as soon as I get reset.
So the first one, you had three. Second one, here we go.
It just can't be. It just
number
can't
two.
Be three. Okay, two.
Yep. I'm going to go again. Replay last lottery.
Okay, I'm going to play mine now again too. I'm reset. Come on.
I have number two. How about you over there?
I've got number four. Good. That's good. Here I go again.
Me too.
All right. Damn it. What the hell is going on?
Number one for me.
Four.
Four?
Yes. Yes.
I'm going again.
Sucks. It can't be like this.
Number three for me.
All right.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
There we go. Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Yep.
How many picks is that?
We each get to do one more. Number four for me.
Okay. Last one up for me.
Mm-hmm.
The Minnesota Timberwolves draft number one. I had two number ones in a row.
Okay.
Son of a bitch.
So out of 10 times, it basically about right. The Minnesota Timberwolves have about a 20% chance.
We used two different simulators, too.
Two different simulators. Yep. Got number one three times.
Yep.
Number two twice. Number three twice. Number four three times.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, everybody. Enjoy. In about another month, we're gonna have to pick fourth. And the fourth is the worst we can do.
And fourth, we have to draft a guy named Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis.
I don't get it. I hate that.
He's from Latvia. That's the last thing I want is some Latvian dude on our team. He has the size to play both the four and the five. Terrific athlete. Excels, blah, blah, blah. Don't care. Don't want him. He's not Cat. Cat's the guy I want. I don't even want this Emmanuel Mudai guy from China, point guard.
How about we go out and get that big Polish kid that we just signed with the Vikings?
Kristaps Porzingis?
No.
Mario Hizanja?
No.
He's from Croatia.
No, I said the big Polish guy the Vikings signed. Let's get him.
Kelly Oubre?
No.
Kevin Looney?
No, he's an offensive tackle.
Frank Kaminsky?
Not Tank the Frank.
RJ Hunter?
No, certainly not. Let's not just get Tyus Jones and call it a day. Bring him through the gates.
Seriously.
See their very own Tyus Jones.
If the Timberwolves were to draft fourth, I would...
Well, we're going to barf. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because they're going to draft about three or four. Watch it.
I would barf, but then I would automatically say, Tyus Jones, just give in. Just trade down Tyus Jones. Just get him. Just call it a day.
And you have no...
Heck, get Amanda Zowie B from the Lady Gopher team.
I'd take her.
Yeah,
6'5". I really would. I think I would.
Bees.
Well, and you don't like the idea of going with the big Polish guy.
No.
From the Vikings.
Baba Tunde.
Baba Bowie.
Baba Gdushki. No.
Baba Dush. Yeah, he said he's going to put J.J. Watt on the ground.
Right now, I just did the replay lottery. Our guy, Cat, from the Kentucky Wildcats, goes to the Indiana Pacers at number one. They have a 0.8% chance to win the number one overall pick. And, yeah, that's, of course,
That's where he went.
Yeah.
You know where they've got in most of the mock draft, not simulators. Do you know where they got our guy going?
Number one.
No. I mean, our guy from here, Tyus Jones.
Oh,
you know where they got him going? They got him going in the first round, by the way.
Of course they do. Mid to late teens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You know where he's going? The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, he would love that.
Yeah, I think they would love that.
I'm sure they would.
I think LeBron would love that. Kyrie, absolutely bring it on, right?
One thing I don't necessarily appreciate is this mock draft simulator that is screwing my life right now. Oh, 4.3% chance to win. Number one overall draft pick, Denver Nuggets, because they need it.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, let's do it again. Oh, here are the Timberwolves.
Well, let's just do one thing again. Let's redo the way you draft in the NBA. And let's try this. Let's not have a lottery.
May 19th, we'll be watching.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
Oh, but it's fun to watch. It's really exciting.
No, it's not.
No. No, no.
What we need to do, and we need to talk Flip Saunders at some point before the NBA draft lottery.
We can do that. Can we?
Yeah,
or can
of course. No, of course we can.
All right.
We need to have him come up with an injury or have...
Or anything.
Some less fortunate person go... I mean, it's always Dan Gilbert's kid for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's how they got Andrew Wiggins and LeBron James. We got to figure out some sort of way.
I don't care what it takes, but we'll get him on, and we'll get his take, and okay. We'll absolutely get the way he wants to move in this draft.
Can we take a break?
Yeah, right now. Let's just do it. Go away for a while. We'll be right back.
Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
With the 32nd pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Teddy Bridgewater.
That's exciting. Our favorite website, Bleacher Report, had a power ranking every team's haul 1 year later, the 2014 NFL Draft. Let's just go over the NFC North here real quick. Any idea where you think the Minnesota Vikings would fall?
I kind of think that the way that Bridgewater and Barr turned out alone, just those two guys, I got to think, they'll rank us number five.
32 to number one. So let's go here. Detroit Lions, the lowest ranking in the NFC North.
Oh, I thought you asked us Minnesota, though.
Yep. I'll tell you that when we get to
I think
them.
Detroit probably ended up at... That tight end didn't work out so well.
Eric Ebron, yeah, Calvin Noy, the linebacker, they were both terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to say they ended up at about 27.
29th.
Ooh.
Chicago Bears?
Let's see. The Bears went... What'd they do?
Well, they had Kyle Fuller.
Kyle Fuller. He turned to be a pretty good player.
Well, got off to a great start. Two passes intercepted. Unexpected victory against the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
Following up two forced fumbles, another big interception against the New York Jets in week three.
Yeah,
then
he also got
the
huge
wheels
fight.
Fell off, as they did for the entire Chicago Bears season.
Yep.
Fuller intercepting just one pass the rest of the way, allowing five touchdowns in that span. And then, according to Bleacher Report, they say
20.
It's not a good thing when your sixth-round punter has by far the best season of all your draft picks.
Not good.
21st.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay. They went well.
They always draft well.
I don't even know who they drafted first round, but I'm going to tell...
Clinton Dix.
Okay, now he ended up starting. He was a solid player. I'd say they've got them in the top 10. I'll say that they went six.
Six is correct. It's exactly where they went.
Okay.
The biggest prize might have been Corey Linsley, the best centers in the entire league last season, taken in the fifth round.
Yeah, and he ended up having to play.
Clinton Dix, you remember, ended the season on a high note. That two-interception performance and that narrow loss. Thank God they lost against the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship game. Wide receiver Devontae Adams quickly overtook Jarrett Boykin, too, as the third wide receiver.
He ended up having a nice season.
Developed into a pretty reliable target.
So I'd say.
Get to the Minnesota Vikings. Bleacher Report has him listed.
Four.
Number one, best draft of 2014. You and I have talked about this several times. We loved the draft last year.
I did. I really did. I'd never get anyone to agree with me on that, or you and I both. We did, and we kind of thought we did. But
I thought the best draft in my lifetime for the Minnesota Vikings, top to bottom, really.
Good. It was awfully good. It really was. And I even liked the linebacker. I was trying to think of the linebacker that we
Brandon took. Watts.
Watts was a good, I think, I don't know. If
seventh round.
Yeah, from Georgia Tech.
Jabari Price, I like him too. Seventh round. Should all grow.
Exum.
Anton Exum, sixth round. David Yankee, fifth round. Scott Crichton, third round. None of those guys really saw a lot of playing time at all last year, but they should all grow into the roles of their own.
Yeah, like Shreve Floyd.
Shamar Stephen, though, too. Shamar Stephen had a really good, he was a seventh round draft pick.
A lot of people are talking about him already. And people are going, what? Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm.
I've got, someone remind me, please remind me to get a hold of Andre Patterson, the defensive line coach. We will talk to him about that kid.
Okay.
He loves him.
Teddy Bridgewater, obviously the draft stock, sank so low, taking number 32 overall. The Vikings traded back up. Anthony Barr, rated by Pro Football Focus, is the second best 4-3 rookie at his position behind Oakland's Khalil Mack, who I'm convinced the Vikings would have drafted if he wouldn't have been taken by the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I don't like Barr ahead of him, though. I think I do. his upside and what he's going to do in this league compared to what Khalil Mack is going to be. I might be wrong. I might completely be wrong, especially now with Jack Del Rio out there in Oakland being a linebacker and a good one and a good defensive coach. Really, really strong defensive-minded coach, Jack Del Rio. He could get the most out of a guy like that. No question in my mind. But the fact that someone actually did come out and say that we had the number one draft of all the teams last year, that's amazing. But it's not hard to read into that if you really know who they are and what they're still. They're all still here. Mm-hmm. And they all made the team.
I love them.
I think if they come back around one more time, a lot of those guys are going to turn out to be ball players. And let's face it, three or four of them already are.
Yeah.
McKinnon, good player. Bridgewater, Barr. I don't know. I mean, something could be made for. Crichton didn't get out there at all. Really didn't get out there at all. Neither did Stephen. And
Axum I saw
on special teams all over the place.
Yeah.
But Price, I think all those kids are going to work out. Yeah. I hope so. And I don't know.
We're going to stay on later tonight. The NFL obviously announcing the NFL's regular season schedule. The Vikings will be all over that at 7 o'clock. Coming up in Sillier Side of Sports, there was a man bitten by a snake he was sleeping with. The Morris twins, they play in the NBA. They are officially charged for assaulting a man that was sexting their mom. That's never good.
That's interesting. I can't wait for that one.
Packers retiring Brett Favre's number on Thanksgiving night. And remember that story about the lady, the 35-year-old Georgia mom?
I know where you're going with that one.
There is more. She's playing Naked Twister with her teenage daughter's boyfriend and all her friends that she had. She ended up having sex with an 18-year-old and then her daughter's 16-year-old boyfriend. Well, there's more to this story, and I'll tell you more about that coming up in the Sillier Side of Sports.
Mm-mm. That sounds silly to me. Let's go check that out, and I'll give you a true superstar. This is right after the break, and then we get more after that, so we want to remind you to hang on even after that. But come on back.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Silly time, as if the rest of the show isn't silly enough. This is Sillier Side of Sports with Superstar Mike Morris and me, Ben Holson. Sometimes it's about sports, sometimes it's not necessarily. How about this guy? An 18-year-old Weemawama, Florida man, was bitten on the lip by a cottonmouth snake he was keeping in his pillowcase on his bed, is recovering at Tampa General Hospital. The snake, also known as a water moccasin, escaped around 11:45 p.m. Saturday and slithered across the stomach of Austin Lane Hatfield, said Gary Morris, spokesman for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Hatfield tried to recapture it. That's when the snake bit him. The bite from a cottonmouth can be deadly, with its venom causing massive swelling. Hatfield obviously rushed to the emergency room. He's going to survive. He caught the snake a few weeks ago and decided, I'm going to keep this as a pet.
Yeah.
In my bed. In a pillowcase. It'll stay there. When I fall asleep and release the grip or whatever, I don't know if you had it tied up or whatever's going on, that'll just stay there. You need a permit in Florida, by the way, to keep that kind of snake, so he might be arrested whenever he gets out of the hospital, but what an idiot.
I'm guessing when he showed up at the hospital and he showed him where he'd been bitten on the lip, it probably looked like it was probably swollen up a lot and probably had to put some cotton in there behind it to swab it out, making him a cotton mouth right away. And I think that anyone that does something like that, catches a big-ass ugly snake, like a cottonmouth or a pit viper of any sort, and sleeps with it in their bed.
Nah.
Hell no.
I mean, I think you deserve it. I mean, get that damn thing out of your bed. And chop its head off with a machete.
Oh, my God, it's huge!
It's very huge.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I'm not worried.
Well, apparently not.
You probably should be worried.
I think he should have been.
Phoenix Suns forwards Marcus and Markieff Morris are twins, by the way. They've been charged with felony aggravated assault following an incident on January 24th at a local recreation center. The victim, Eric Hood, alleged that he had attended a basketball tournament at the recreation center when he saw the Morris brothers enter the gym with three other men. Bauman, Julius Kane, and Christopher Melendez. I don't know why their names are necessarily needed here, but after the game, police say Hood was confronted by Kane and struck from behind on the head by Melendez. Hood tried to run his car, but had been dazed by the initial blow to the head and fell to the ground, where he'd then been repeatedly punched and kicked by all five of the suspects. The assault was witnessed by a 27-year-old woman who had attended the game with Hood. Hood was taken to the emergency room at Phoenix Baptist Hospital, where he was treated for a broken nose, bruises, and abrasions. Police say that Hood was assaulted for sending, quote, an inappropriate text message to the Morris brothers' mother sometime before the incident. No word of avocado emojis were used in the texts.
Avocado? You don't want to be messing around with the Morris's mom. I mean, that holds true for almost any Morris.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Morris boys will go out and get you. That doesn't go too far away from the actual experiences that I've had with my brother, Pat. I think we would have done the same thing. I mean, you can let someone do that to your mom?
No.
I don't know about that one.
No, not at all.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I would do that. Well, maybe. Who knows? Silly thought. But it's sillier side of sports.
Very silly.
What else you got?
Well, I got a couple of doozies here. New details are rolling in about Rachel Lineheart, the 35-year-old Georgia mom who allegedly hosted that drug and alcohol-fueled party for teenage daughter's underage friends, Naked Twister. Had sex with her daughter's boyfriend in addition to another 18-year-old boy. It's hard to imagine how this story could get much crazier, but
it can't.
According to court papers from an emergency motion, they accuse the mother of negligence of her five children, in addition to the claims that Lineheart left her children, whose ages range from 8 to 16, alone at night for up to 2.5 weeks in each month to be with her boyfriend, who himself is allegedly involved in heavy drug use. The infamous Twister party also allegedly involved a, quote, multi-party bubble bath involving the teens.
She's kind of a tiger.
Mm.
Kind of a bad person, too, I think. Let's just hope that she never gets to pull out the Twister board again. And she can keep Mr. Bubble in the cabinet. Don't do that every time. I don't know what is wrong with people. She's got an 8 through 16. She got five kids, six kids?
Yep, five kids.
Five, age ranging from 8 to 16.
She's 35.
And she leaves them from anywhere from 2 to 2.5 weeks alone by themselves to fend for themselves.
Because she's got to go get the nookie. She's also a recovering alcoholic, but obviously not recovering very well.
No, I don't think she's doing well. Not following the program. I just can't believe it. I don't know how to decipher how stupid people can be. And I'm pretty stupid, but I can't figure it out.
Here's something that's kind of right up your alley and sillier side of sports. Jake Olson has been an honorary member of the USC football team for 6 years now. Now he's getting a chance to be an official member of the Trojans. Olson, who lost both of his eyes at age of 12, has been involved with the team since meeting Pete Carroll 6 years ago. A high school long snapper and an owner of a ridiculous 4.3 GPA, he's being invited to walk on at USC, and all indications are that he'll see the field one day, no pun intended. As a long snapper, his inspiring story was chronicled in the 2013 College Game Day feature. Can you be a long snapper if you're blind?
I don't know how he'd be able to do that. I don't know how he'd be able to do it. I mean, unless the other people on the other side of the ball just let him, and then what do you do with him as far as getting downfield and making a block, or making a tackle, or at least getting into the coverage.
You'd be lit up.
I don't get it. I don't see any reason, or a way in the world, other than in an honorable way of doing so, getting him out there on the field, letting him suit up, letting him pad up, going through a snap perhaps in a game that's out of hand. I don't know. And it would be a great gesture, too. It really would. But I don't see how or who could take the chance of putting him out there and thinking that they were going to let him cover a punt. I don't know how he could.
I don't get it.
It's hard enough to try and get lined up on someone who's running up the field that fast, even with full vision. And people are buzz-bombing you from every angle. I don't know how he could do it.
Dwight Howard says he's a changed man. There's a detailed story about him on Bleacher Report now, speaking on how he's kind of grown up and changed. He said for the longest time, he only claimed publicly that his son that he had with ex-magic dancer Royce Reed, but that there are plenty more. Howard mentions that he's still working through relationships with his family members. He admits that he hasn't been the most wholesome father, having four children, two sons and two daughters, ages 7, 4, 4, and 1, with several different women. But he says He's very involved in their lives. Quote, I know how harsh the internet and social media can get, and I don't want to put my kids through that. I don't want to have them go to school, and kids are like, your dad did this. He sucks. I don't want to have that feel that same kind of hate that I receive, but I spend as much of time with him as I can. Truly care for him. He also went on to say he likes riding around in his neighborhood with his friends on his Can-Am Spider three-wheeler bike motorcycle thing.
Yeah, you've seen him.
He also likes going to the gun range. It's what you do in Texas, he says. He has about 10 different kinds in his collection, encompassing more than 50 guns in total, including shotguns, semi-automatics, handguns, such as his favorite, a gold-looking Desert Eagle pistol. He also collects, just for show, miniguns and bazookas. But there's no better way to describe Howard's eccentricity and connection to Texas than through his pet snakes. It's 20 of them.
He,
20 snakes and 50 guns in his house.
Got any of those cotton mouths? You sleep with it? I think he slept with everything else.
Bit of a nutbag.
Over the past couple of years, he has really lost a lot of respect from a lot of players in the league, I think, certainly in the media. He has not become, a very beloved player in this league when I think before he was at one time in the NBA. Mm. Don't you think so? I mean, I sense that he's not the Absolutely. Same guy in the eyes of everyone else that used to sort of respect and look up to
him. And he's not as a dominating force as he was when he played for the Orlando Magic. That whole trade to the Los Angeles Lakers with Kobe Bryant and then him wanting out from Los Angeles. It's like, who in their right mind does that? And playing with James Harden, maybe one of the best basketball players in the league right now.
Yeah.
And he's nowhere to be found.
It's incredible. And he's non-existent. That's just it. Yeah. I can't believe it. I don't know if he's injured or if he just doesn't find the court anymore.
It's weird, too, when you have a guy like Kevin McHale who's shown him the ropes, one of the best big men in the history of the NBA. Speaking of the playoffs, during game one of the Clippers-Spurs series, two Clippers fans had a strategy for enjoying a great game while keeping their pockets full of money rather than spending $100 on booze. These two went the bring-your-own-beer approach, bring-your-own-booze, bringing your own open bottle of vodka into Staples Center is frowned upon.
Yeah, I don't think they condone that, do they?
They ended up getting the boot.
They booted them out.
Yeah. No me gusta.
I don't know how they think they can go in there like that.
Kids. Kids will be stupid. I mean, adults are stupid.
I mean, what do? You, like, put it in a hip flask and you put some crushed ice under your hat and wear it in, or what do you do? I don't get. Probably would have tried that at one point in my life. But for all of you youngsters out there, let old Grandpa Starr tell you this one. You're going to get caught. You'll get caught.
Yeah.
You'll get booted right out of the stadium. You won't be invited back. You won't be allowed back, probably. Mm-hmm.
The show's usually over right now.
Yes, it is, but it's
but
not.
Not tonight. We're going to talk. We'll be right back after 7 o'clock. Talk about the NFL schedule, the release of the Minnesota Vikings. So we'll talk to you about that here in just a couple of seconds. But
I'm going to give you a true superstar to end the show the way we normally do, and then we'll come back and have that special feature. Then after that, Army Sergeant Donna R. Johnson, 29 of Roford, North Carolina, assigned to the 514th Military Police Company, 60th Troop Command. Winterville, North Carolina, died October 1st in Khost, Afghanistan, of injuries caused by a suicide bomber. Also killed were Sergeant Jeremy Hardinson and Sergeant Thomas Butler IV. Remember her in your hearts and prayers as you go along through your busy day. Army Sergeant Donna R. Johnson has been chosen as the true superstar of the day.
Radio 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports 105 The Ticket.
Damn it, Maverick.
Super Bowl, me boy. Here we go. The Vikings 2015 regular season schedule has been released, and we are going all the way. How about the Vikings, huh?
Where do they play the Super Bowl this year?
Where?
Do we know? Because we're going based on this schedule, the way it looks to me.
Super Bowl 50.
Number 50. I can't wait for the season to begin. I know that's how it is for anyone in this country. They are waiting on the football season. Everyone's a big football fan. And the Vikings
it's
will be
Oakland
one of those.
Coliseum.
Oakland. Wow.
No,
how
kidding.
Nice is that? That's going to be great.
Just kidding. Levi Stadium, Santa Clara, California, San Francisco 49ers.
Stadium.
That's a pretty little shanty.
Yeah.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Nice little shack. Cracked that one open just last season. So I guess that's where we're heading. The Vikings are heading there.
We'll begin the season there and we'll end the season there. The season kicks off for the Minnesota Vikings. September 14th, Monday Night Football game at the San Francisco 49ers. It would be a 9:20 kickoff here Central Time. That's going to be a late postgame show.
Don't they normally have two Monday Night Football games first week out?
Yeah.
So we're the late game.
The late game. Which makes sense for the San Francisco 49ers. They're West Coast, and so it would start at, 7:20 there. But why? I mean, okay, well, let's go through the...
Oh, so we're not the late game.
No, we're the late game. 10:20 starting on the East Coast? That would mean 9:20 here. That's the late game.
Okay.
So the first game would start at, 6:30 or something like that?
Probably so.
6:30?
I guess the 49ers at their place, that's a pretty tough call. Monday night, add to that. Monday night, that's a pretty big deal. So we're going to kick off into the Monday night schedule. We get our crack at it first. That's a hell of a way to break them in, boys.
651-989-9105 if you want to join the discussion on the Minnesota Vikings schedule that was just released a couple of minutes ago. You and I went through this already, just not knowing the way the team stacked up, where we would play, what teams next to here, when you'd have the bye week. And you said 12-4? 11-5, 12-4.
We'll walk it through again with a little different scenario and a little different idea of how this is going to take place. So you have to start fast in the National Football League if you want to get any momentum started. You can't dig the hole. And trust me, when you go on the road first, and that's what's going to probably change my mind on that 12-4 thing, because you look at teams just verbatim, and they're teams that played last year. That's all you're looking at. You don't know how it stacks up after the draft. New coaching staffs, new personnel.
It's a pretty interesting schedule the way it comes out. So at San Francisco, opening up September 14th, Monday Night Football. Then,
and I think that's going to be a rough game.
Of course it is.
It's on the road at their place on Monday night. They are in shambles, though, a little bit. They being the 49ers. They lost their coach. They lost Gore. They lost a lot of different pieces to the puzzle. Patrick Willis retired. There are a lot of things that are different on that football team. And Colin Kaepernick is not quite what they thought he was going to be. But he's working with Kurt Warner right now in the offseason.
They lost their starting left guard. Remember, we wanted
Iupati.
Him. Mike Iupati.
He turned into Arizona.
It's not the same team.
It's a different team.
Week 2, September 20th, a nooner Sunday, back home here at TCF Bank Stadium against the Detroit Lions.
I like that one. But they're not easy. They're not pushovers anymore. The Lions they're a formidable team. The defense got better. They lost Ndamukong Suh. They picked up Haloti Ngata. Not a bad exchange there.
Fairley gone though too.
Nick Fairley is gone now. Where is he?
St. Louis Rams.
St. Louis Rams. And that team, we got them later on the schedule too. That is not going to be an easy game. They are just getting better and better. I don't know what's going to happen with Nick Foles. They are not a pushover squad all of a sudden.
Week 3, September 27th, the San Diego Chargers come to TCF Bank Stadium.
They'll be locked and loaded. I mean, with that quarterback, you always have a chance. Antonio Gates, if he's on the team, you got a chance to win a game. The receiving core, the Royals came up big for him last year.
Keenan Allen was huge as well. Talk about that deep wide receiver class last year. We just got done talking to our guy, Luke Inman from 105theticket.com and Cole Omaha at about 6 o'clock, talking about this year's wide receiver class, saying, comparing it to last year's wide receiver class, and you have Beckham.
Yeah, I mean, Beckham is going to the one coming out of college right now from Missouri, but Beckham is the real deal.
Yeah, New York Giants. Sammy Watkins, Evans.
From Tampa Bay, from the A&M,
Just a ton of great wide receivers.
There was a good crop last year.
Week 4, on the road, Mile High Stadium. I've always wanted to go. I might road trip for that one.
It's a great game.
3:25 kickoff, 3:30 kickoff, October 4th, Game 4, Week 4, Denver Broncos on the road. Peyton Manning, his last season likely in the NFL. I think I'm going to do my best to get to that game.
It'd be a heck of a game to go to. It really would. It'd be an incredible, a road trip. It really would. Denver, a great town. Good football team always. They play well at Mile High. Vikings really tested. So now we've got how many road games? We've got 2-2, right?
2-2 first 4 weeks. Week 5, bye week already.
I don't like that either.
I don't love that either.
That's too early. But if you get on a roll after you come back from the bye week and you don't have to break anymore, that's kind of a good thing. So let's get four games out of the way. That's fine. We'll take a break after the first quarter of the season and break into it with three quarters to go. And that's not a bad thing if you're rolling, if you're really rolling. You just don't want to be stopped at game 8 or 9 when you're on a huge roll, a big run where you're hotter than hell, then you take a break. That hurts. It hurts to get back on the horse and go again.
Coming back week 6, Minnesota Vikings back at it, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. 1 o'clock kickoff, a Sunday kickoff, October 19th, Kansas City Chiefs.
That's a premier team. It's a great team now coming up. Smith, not exactly the guy. They lost Bo, they just finally released him, getting a little bit old, the wide receiver. They got the big time, re-sign of Justin Houston, the big outside linebacker with 22 sacks last year. They've got Jamal Charles. It's always going to be a pretty good team, I think, from here on out. Depending on how they draft, they could be a dominant team.
Week 7, October 25th, another Sunday kickoff. This time traveling to Detroit, taking on the Detroit Lions, playing the Lions twice in the NFC North before we even play the Chicago Bears or the Green Bay Packers once.
Yeah, sometimes it just falls that way. How they make these schedules, it's kind of luck of the draw when you get people. And if they're not playing well at the beginning of the year, that's the time to get them. Because no one really takes the exhibition season real serious anymore. You end up with teams out there just kind of, who are we? We haven't figured this out yet. And then they just go straight dynamite for the last 9-10 games. You like to catch some teams in the division early and hope that you've outworked them. And to finding out who you are, what kind of team you are, and then just beat them on fundamentals alone. And then they start to regain themselves and you're glad you've already got them out of the way. But Detroit's all the stuff at home. That's just not a gimme.
Week 8, on the road, Soldier Field at the Chicago Bears. The first time we're playing the Chicago Bears, the NFC North, obviously rivalry between the Vikings and the Packers and the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings. Chicago Bears, noon kickoff, November 1st, week 8.
I guess the big question is, who shows up in Chicago at quarterback? Jay Cutler or Jay Cutler? These two different guys. If he's the good one, you're in trouble. You're in trouble here at home. You're in trouble at their place. If it's the other guy that we just, you've seen it. You've seen it on TV. It's the way he is. It's the way he carries himself. If that's the problem, again, for those guys, they're in big trouble. I know they've got a new coach. Coach Fox rolls into town. You know, our own Mark Trestman gone already. It's going to change a lot with Fox now and his staff. And if someone can reach Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall's gone. Mm-hmm. So Big Jeffries and some of the other people are going to, Bennett's going to have to make up the slack on that. And
yeah, Forte's are pretty good. That they'll draft Kevin White or one of the wide receivers in number 7. You have no idea.
That team, it would make perfect sense to do that.
No idea what they're going to do. Week 9 here, about halfway through the season, a rematch of last year's week 1 opener. I was on the road, however, this time at TCF Bank Stadium. A completely changed St. Louis Rams team comes November 8th, noon kickoff.
They're here.
Yes.
That's a tough team. That is just going to be a tough team. I know we've got them here at TCF, and I'm glad we do. Because I think if we went back down there, we would not have maybe the same result that we had last year to open the season. This team is locked up and stocked up with some top talent. They've got some good people.
Young.
They're really good. That defensive line is maybe one of the best in the business.
And great coaching, too, and Jeff Fisher and his staff.
He's a good coach. He's been around for a long, long time, all the way back to the Houston Oilers. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out how that goes. It's going to be a tough game, everyone. That's not the same team.
Second half of the season sees week 10, Minnesota Vikings on the road, 3:05 kickoff in Oakland, in the dump. That is the Coliseum where, honest to God, there was raw sewage going through the locker room and the clubhouse and the dugouts of the Oakland A's as we speak probably right now. Just an awful place to play. Commitment to excellence, though. Al Davis, of course.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, he doesn't have to worry about it anymore.
So it's interesting because the Minnesota Vikings play the Oakland Raiders twice next year. Once in exhibition, once in preseason, and then once in the regular season in week 10. And a matchup of young teams.
Yeah, and Jack Del Rio's got the head coaching spot out there. Yes, we do play at Oakland Sewer County Stadium. So I guess you never know what's going to happen at that. You would think you could win that game, but they're going to get better. And now there's some word also that Adrian Peterson would sure fit good in black and silver out there.
Love for him to go to the Oakland Raiders. Love it.
Khalil Mack got some bright spots on their team, but everyone can shine if the lighting is right.
And here come the Green Bay Packers. The first time the NFC North matchup, the rivalry, Green Bay Packer Minnesota Vikings happened November 22nd, which is a Sunday. That's also a noon kickoff. That at TCF Bank Stadium. Green Bay Packers, the first of two.
We play them tough. 11. We play them tough. I don't care. I mean, you saw it last year. It came down to a 3-point game. That's the second matchup. But I like our chances against the Packers anytime we get them at home. I know who they are. We all know who they are. Mm-hmm. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, they're as tough as you can get on any part of the field, offense, defense, special teams. They've got tons of receivers, a couple nice big running backs, and maybe the greatest quarterback going right now.
Minnesota Vikings do not play on Thanksgiving, though they do play that weekend after on the 29th, obviously following Black Friday, November 29th, week 12, 1 o'clock kickoff at the Atlanta Falcons.
Another team loaded up. Big-time quarterback.
But they can never seem to put it together these last couple of years because they're always picking in the top 10. Because they don't have a defense.
Well, I mean, if they ever get that lined up and start using those top picks to pick defensive players, and if they do land the right guys, they've got a couple of receivers out there. Harper and,
Harper?
No, not Harper.
Julio Jones
and...
Roddy White
and...
What's his nuts? Williams? Is it Williams something?
I don't know why I'm trying to say Harper, but it's not. But you know what? Matty Ice is a pretty good quarterback. He can get the ball to him. And down there at their place, they're tough.
Also, defense a team interested better. In Adrian Peterson, one of the six teams mentioned in Chris Thomas.
You want to add that to the mix?
Yeah. Week 13, December 6th, another noon kickoff on Sunday. The Seattle Seahawks come to TCF Bank Stadium.
Okay.
The defending NFC champions.
Well, they should have won the whole thing.
They should have
won the whole thing.
Russell Wilson said he's watched that interception hundreds of times over and over and over again on his DVR at his house.
I think we have, too. I think we got to see it. I know. I've seen it 100 times.
No.
We all did. We all know what happened. I don't know who to blame it on. I just know that they were knocking on the door, and Malcolm Butler from the New England Patriots makes the play of all plays, the play of a lifetime, and wins a Super Bowl on one play.
Wow.
That's a very, very good football team, very well coached, and tons of talent.
It's interesting because just four and a half days later, the Minnesota Vikings are in Arizona. Thursday night game, December 10th. That would be week 14, a 7:30 kickoff.
That's a tough 1-2 punch. That's a tough back-to-backer. You go down there to their place. They're tough down in Glendale, Arizona. Don't know what Carson Palmer is going to be able to do as far as coming back and being himself.
And you don't know if Adrian Peterson's going to be a member of the Arizona Cardinals either. There are so many different situations as you look at the schedule just released, by the way, that we're talking about. 2015 Vikings schedule that, Adrian Peterson could go to the Chargers. We've always talked about
Oakland, Atlanta.
Possibility they're not in the running and we don't hear a lot about them, but would fit nicely in Denver.
Some people have said Colts.
Yeah. I mean, so many different places. So
Arizona's tough down there. Yeah. Really super tough. Their defense, they're known for defense. They lost Todd Bowles as a head coach. He's gone now with the New York Jets.
10 days later, December 20th, week 15, as we come down the stretch here, the Minnesota Vikings host the Chicago Bears at TCF Bank Stadium. Again, who's going to show up? Which Jay Cutler is it going to be? New coaching staff, John Fox, Chicago Bears. What are they doing necessarily? They've gone younger. Who are they going to draft?
Lamar Houston, does he come back from the ACL after he was celebrating? He jumped up and blew his ACL out. Where's Jared Allen in the mix? You have tons of players in that defensive secondary that were waning in age. They have some young guys. We already talked about the rookie that they had from last year.
Kyle Fuller.
Yep. And he actually, with one more year, could be a great player. New coaching staff, you already mentioned. And so look out. Chicago, if it's Jay Cutler, the guy with the arm that can throw the ball anywhere on the football field that you want, they pick up one of those great receivers in the draft and pair that with Alshon Jeffries. Look out.
Two games to go in the Vikings 2015 regular season schedule. 651-989-9105. If you want to talk about what you think the Minnesota Vikings will do, we'll run down the list here and give you our best prediction, obviously, way before the draft and way before things are actually settled. Week 16, December 27th, after Christmas, New York football Giants come to town at TCF Bank Stadium with the worst quarterback known to mankind, Eli Manning.
Actually not. He's actually dangerous because he's been there for so long. I know you do. He's pretty good. He gets it done. He still finds ways to win. And that he's innovative, and he adapts to his environment, rather. And Tom Coughlin. Coughlin is back again. That makes it a little tougher because he's back. I mean, the guy is a dynamic a super, super coach, and he's gotten them to the he's gotten them to go the distance a couple times. You got to give him credit where credit is due. Their defense, that'll be another thing that's a revamped sort of defensive front. But I think that's the kind of team that could be scary because of the unknowns.
Week 17, Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. Obviously, yeah. Earlier today we heard that Brett Favre's number will be retired. Not during that game. It'll be a game against the Chicago Bears. It might be a Monday or Thursday night game on their schedule. Not really sure. Not really concerned with what the Green Bay Packers are doing because they smell like cheese. Moldy cheese. Disgusting cheese. January 3rd, though, it's going to be a cold day. The coldest, probably the coldest possible date allowable to be playing games at Lambeau Field. The Vikings will be there January 3rd. So
that could be cold, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it will be a challenge. We'll have played outdoors the whole time, too, at TCF. It's not like we're not going to be climatized and have our blood thinned out a little bit, too, from some of the cold weather. But that's Green Bay, one rough place to play.
So earlier today, we ran through the list of schedules and just home and away teams. We didn't know how they stacked up, where the bye week would fall, who was, if it was going to be what team after what team. And then, how many Monday night, Thursday night, quick turnaround, Sunday night football games there would be. So let's go through. I think you said 12-4. We're being optimistic. Before the draft, you have no idea. It's just a complete shot in the dark. Now that we know that the schedule is out, let's run through this here.
Okay.
Opening up September 14th, week one, Monday Night Football, the late game, 9:20 at the San Francisco 49ers.
I think they can get this one.
Okay.
Willis is gone. I think Justin Smith said he was going to retire. They had the other linebacker. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Crabtree's gone, or looking to still be signed, rather.
Okay.
I'm going to say we get that.
Okay, week two, the Detroit Lions at TCF Bank Stadium.
I'll take a win there.
Week three, San Diego Chargers, TCF Bank Stadium.
Oh, boy. I'll take a win.
3-0 so far.
That's going to be a tough one.
Week four, 3:25 kickoff at Mile High Stadium, Invesco Field, Denver Broncos.
Really tough game. I said we'd take it before, and I don't think so. I would say that we're probably going to lose that.
Okay. Have a bye week on week five. Week six, Kansas City Chiefs come to TCF Bank Stadium.
You come back off the bye week. You're rested up. You take on a team that you've practiced against 10,000 times. You know them inside and out. I think that we probably get them.
Okay. Week seven at the Detroit Lions.
It's our turn to dominate. Teddy Bridgewater comes into his own. That defense is, you never know. I think that we're gonna probably be a better team against Detroit. I think we've got something for them at home too.
All right,
we're gonna win it.
5-1 so far. Week eight at the Chicago Bears.
We're gonna win it.
Yep. Week nine, St. Louis Rams, TCF Bank Stadium.
Jeez,
it's a tough schedule this year.
Nick Foles makes a big difference too. what a D-line. We'll win it. We're at home.
Okay.
Did I say that?
Next up, week 10 at the Oakland Raiders.
We win it. God.
Okay. Week 11, Green Bay Packers, TCF Bank Stadium.
We win it.
Good Lord. We're running the table here. At the Atlanta Falcons, week 12.
No, we lose it.
Lose Atlanta. Seattle Seahawks here at TCF Bank Stadium, December 6th.
Yeah, I don't think we're that kind of team yet.
Arizona Cardinals at Arizona. That is a Thursday night game.
And we lose it.
Week 15 at Chicago Bears here at TCF Bank Stadium.
We win it.
Week 16, New York Giants here at TCF Bank.
Win.
Week 17, Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field.
Lose.
That's 11-5, new boy.
That's pretty good rundown. That's
11-5.
Hey, look, if we land some of the players that we need in this draft and we say we keep Adrian Peterson, that makes it pretty good to me. I don't know. I don't know about you guys. We could have won two more games last year fairly easily. Would have put us at 9 wins. I like our chances.
Me too. 11-5. It's going to be a tough schedule, but it always seems daunting every time it comes out. So
it does.
We'll be all over that starting, obviously, the rest of the night here on CBS Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Bob Sansevier, I'm sure, will be talking about it tomorrow from 2 to 4. We, obviously, will be updating you as well. Live from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, Game 4, NHL, Round 1 playoffs. Minnesota Wild, St. Louis Blues. So we'll see you tomorrow. Giving away all sorts of prizes at Tom Reed's.
Get out of there and see us, man. It's a fun time. And I know you guys are all out there anyway. There's no place to stand. So whoever showed up last time, show up again. But bring your friends anyway. We'll let them in. Come on
back.
Your
all-day sports talk leader. 105 The Ticket.